To in-game chat for Saturday, the 20th of June, 2026. It is Season 20, Episode 19. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show. There we go. If you want to just join in on the show, you know we got our Discord up. We're on Twitch right now. You can check out twitch.tv. Go there. And you'll be able to watch the show live while we broadcast. You'll also be able to join into the chat room while we broadcast and talk with us there as well. Of course, Discord. We got chats in Discord that you can do, and you can get on the air with Discord as well if you'd like to do that. Also, we're on Twitter. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Facebook. We are on every other thing you can find us on. Email us at everyone@ingamechat.net. We have the cam feed going on right now on Twitch. Join us there live while we broadcast and, be a part of the show. We always love when you're a part of the show. Before we get into it again, it's not something I was expecting to do again, but I would like to direct you to ingamechat.net. Please go to our website. I just made a post there again. Outside of a massive thank you post, I really don't expect to do another one of these again, but everything is explained yet again on our website at ingamechat.net. Having said that, I will post a link into our chat room here so that folks can see that as well. The way, I don't want to say our luck, but I damn sure know the way that my luck works out. And it would happen to have worked out that way. So I hate it, but that's just how it works for me, man. There's always, it's one of those things on a completely different level. We would do a show and then like the next day, some big news would break or the day after some big news would break. And it's like, oh man, we were just there. Now this happened and now we can't talk about it. When I say big news, I mean, within the video game sphere, not within the world sphere. But yeah, so Saturday was great. And then Monday came, and I got an email, and I was like, just really annoyed me. So, anyway, everything, like I said, everything is explained at our website. If you go to ingamechat.net, you can see exactly what's going on and exactly what I'm trying to say without actually saying it. So there you go. How about that? Anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. We really appreciate you guys joining us for another episode this week. Hi, Dave. I don't know that you're listening live, but I know when you do get to listen, just say hello to you. RJ, what you been playing, buddy?
Well, I finished off RoboCop Rogue City.
Oh.
I finally beat that.
Was that pretty fast, seemingly?
No, I mean, it was just constant playing over a couple of days.
It's just really a straight shooter, isn't it?
You just go straight through and do all that, but the Going back through it a second time because I wanted to finish what I started with the experience. Because when you finish it the first time, unless you get scrounged for every bit of experience you can, you possibly can get all the experience points you can to build up all the skills as RoboCop.
Oh,
right?
Okay, yeah.
So I played it a second time that allowed you to play a new game plus that lets you get continue where you left off really with in terms of experience. So I played through it a second time, made some different choices here and there just to see how it would change up, but. Yeah, overall, I could say that I honestly had a fun time with it, although it did take me a while to actually feel like it was RoboCop, you know, an indestructible force to reckon with, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, because in the beginning, when you don't have all that armor and vitality and skill, yeah, you're not very what they call squishy, especially on the higher difficulties.
You're very squishy. Yeah. Yeah. You're extremely squishy.
Yeah, and I've never associated squishy with RoboCop, so. Now, that was one thing that I thought about. But yeah, like I said, it was fun overall playing that. Now I was looking at the expansion that I found was a standalone expansion. I don't think it has any connection to the memory for Rogue City. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the DLC usually accounts for the game that you played before. I don't think you have to play Rogue City to play Unfinished Business. It's just a continuation of the story, a standalone, right? So I'll be looking into that for next time. But other than that, I'm still playing Grand Theft Auto Online. They changed up some stuff in there for earning money. So this week it's No Way Out, one of the new missions that they put out, where you can get about 1.5, maybe 2 million in-game currency every time, because they put it at double pay this week. Thing is, though, a lot of the grinds in the game is basically doing the same thing over and over and over again. So you might get burned out on that if you have to deal with that. But I don't know, 1.5 per every 45 minutes to an hour, it sounds good, especially if you need some cash in that game. Yeah, so those two I've been playing this week.
All right. Mm-hmm. For me, it has been. I'm done with Lego Batman. Even though I talked about it last week that, you know, I was going back to pick up all the little collectibles, which I went back and I picked up all the little collectibles, and did all of that. I've done everything that I want to do, and it's so much so that I've already uninstalled the game off the PC. I did what I set out to do with it, which was 100% it, and then go back and get some more collectible stuff to pick up to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go towards your 100%, but you get these little Batman trophies whenever you do these unspecified things. Mm-hmm. There's all these little bat symbol tokens around Gotham. You only need to get half. There's 50 of them, but you only need to get half of them to get the achievement for it. But if you get all 50, first off, you get the T-Rex built in the Batcave from it. But you also get a little tiny little Batman trophy that you can display wherever you want to display in the game itself. If you gold all of the, what they call them, AR trials, combat, maneuvering, racing, you gold all of those, you get a little Batman trophy. If you find all of the Lego stud caches throughout the city, which there's a ton of those, you get a little Batman trophy. There's all these little different things if you get a little Batman trophy for them. So mm-hmm. I don't care about those. It's nice that I have two, but that's it. I just wanted all the 50 little bat symbols and 100% the game, which I did. And there's a fantastic little Easter egg for everybody if you 100% the game. It's quick, but it's really cool. And I don't know how they did what they did. I'd have to go back and read about it. But anyway, done with it. Put it away. I'm finished. Mm-hmm. I finished it off. Other than that, I've been playing Snap, and I've been playing demos for Steam Next Fest, which is going on right now. And really, there's only two demos that I played. It's three demos I've played so far. Order of the Sinking Star, which is a puzzle type game. What's his name? Jonathan Blow, I think is his name. The guy that did Braid.
Braid, yeah.
And the guy that did The Witness. Mm-hmm. He's involved with Order of the Sinking Star, so it's very puzzle heavy. I don't want to really tell you much about it because it's not out of spoilers, but because I really have played very little of it. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you move on a grid system. So you're either going, you know, forward a square, back a square, left a square, right a square, that sort of thing. It's on a grid system that you move your character. And they have an undo mechanic, you know? In other words, if you make a mistake, you can hold down, I can't remember what button it was on the keyboard, but you hold down a button on the keyboard and it backs it up. because you're on a grid system, it's one step per grid. So it backs you up a grid, a single grid every time that you want to undo what you did.
Is it something along the lines of an invisible ink grid system?
I suppose, yeah. Not in a sense that it's turn-based, but that you move along those types, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because there was one where I was maneuvering mirrors, and I ended up maneuvering the mirror into a position to where I could not get it back from where it was. So you're going to have to think ahead about that if you're going to be doing that. But, you know, I just hit the undo button, and it put me back in a state that I could correct the mistake.
Yeah.
So it's seemingly kind of it's an island full of puzzles, and it's open world. In other words, you're at a hub space, and if you go northeast, southwest, there is a batch of an island full of puzzles, whichever way you go from the hub space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all I've done. The first space I chose was I either went east or south. I can't remember. And it had to do with mirrors. So my reflection in the mirror moved on the island. And I'm trying to figure out how I could explain it. If a mirror is at an angle and I put a laser pointer on it, it's going to hit that and go bounce at a right 90-degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it that way. The way the mirrors are positioned, they would go in a, you know, firing a laser to it, it would go at a 90-degree angle. So, you know, picture that as your ghost. If I'm standing in front of the mirror, two blocks away from it, my reflection is now two blocks away from the mirror in that other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I can press a button to switch between those two. So if there's an island space, I can't walk on water. I will sink. If there's an island space and I move away from that mirror ever how many steps, then my reflection also moves away from that mirror to get me to a different part of the island, to where I can switch over and then do other things with.
Mm.
So that's my explanation of how that specific group of puzzles were working. I haven't gone into any other spots of the island, so I don't know how those function and what other mechanics are involved.
Mm.
So that's Order of the Sinking Star in a very abbreviated nutshell.
I'm willing to bet you that you're going to have to get stuck on one island and then have to get something else on the other side to make something work later on.
I don't know, because I haven't gone through to see, like, you know, it doesn't seem like you earn any kind of power-ups, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't earn any kind of abilities. You're just given tools at each island to figure out the solution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, again, as we normally do with, do I have to, I have to sign in. No, I'm not signing into GG deals, but whatever. Why did it? No, it's not where I wanted to go. I want to go Steam.
Trying to find the price or whatever?
No, I'm not trying to find the price. I'm just trying to figure out what I've played. There it is. Found it. Okay. So I played Order of the Sinking Star. Then I played a game called Grass Chopper. This is one of those incremental games.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you start out cutting this grass, which, by the way, I hate cutting grass. I hate yard work.
Burning.
Yeah. Yes. Either just lay cement over the whole thing, or just burn it all and I never have to worry about it. Every year I'll just burn it so I don't have to worry about the grass.
Or you can invest in some AstroTurf.
Yeah, something. Just gear. I hate it. I hate maintaining it. It looks great. I just hate maintaining it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Grass Chopper is an incremental game. You cut grass, and every time you cut grass, it drops seeds. Sometimes it drops gold. You pick those up. You take it to the vendor. You sell him the seeds. He gives you the gold. You go to your upgrade thing. You spend gold to get a better cutter, a better this, a better that, faster swing, you know, more damage, and that's the incremental part of it. You keep cutting grass to upgrade your abilities, and then you cut more grass with it.
Hmm.
so that you can earn more gold, so that you can upgrade your ability, so that you can cut more grass with it. So there's a lot more to it than just that. You can discover that in the demo, which is absolutely free, but it's called Grass Chopper.
Looks like you got enemies in here as well.
I'm not sure. I came across a boss that I was able to defeat, and it unlocked another section that I haven't yet figured out, like, what to do. Like, it put a rock in my path, and in order to get rid of the rock, I have to have, like, 10,000 gold or something. Yeah. It was a lot in order to get rid of the rock, and I just said, okay, I understand you and how your game works. I don't think I need to play any more of you, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking something dangerous is going on. The guy's in a hazmat suit, it looks like.
He is, because there's a certain section of the grass that once you get into it, your oxygen is depleted or starts to deplete. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, again, it's just something to stretch the game out. So you have to go and you buy an upgraded oxygen tank. Mm-hmm. It depletes slower. It has more, all these things. You get a bigger backpack so you can hold more seeds and other things that come from the grass. It's just all these different things that come with it. So there was that one. That's so far, that's the one I've enjoyed the most, but that's also the one I've played the most of because it was, frankly, easy to do. But Order of the Singing Star probably would be too. It's just that when I play these, I'm playing these to get the idea of like what they do and understand it. And like, hey, I like what it's doing. I don't need to play any more of you. You know, Order of the Singing Star, I like your puzzles. I don't need to play any more of you. I might just to see some other variations of what I have offered to me in the game, but I'm good. You're a puzzle game. I like puzzles. We're friends. Mm-hmm. Grass Chopper. I played it. I get your concept. I like the incrementals. I like doing games like that. So I get it. I know what you're about. We're good. We're friends. Then I tried Normal Golf Game. You might be interested in this. You may not. It's starts off very strange. There's something about it that says it's and they're very heavy-handed in the fact that they seem to indicate that it is not a normal golf game. It says it's a normal golf game. It is not a normal golf game.
The fact that it says normal is a red flag anyway.
Right. But they also just they give you plenty of red flags of like, oh, you don't know why you're here, you don't know what you're doing, but you're here to, you know, you're gonna play golf. And the playing of the golf is difficult. It has a very quap style play of golf. You know, what was the guy's name? Ben Foddy, I think.
Bennett Foddy?
Yeah.
Of getting over it?
It's like, it's like his idea of building a golf game. Because... Now, that's only if you play it on normal. If you play it on easy mode, it's a little bit better, but normal mode makes it very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, golf is hard enough, so...
Difficult to the point that I am this close, and for those of you on the radio, I'm putting up my thumb and my finger here and making a very small space.
He's on the brink.
Yeah, I'm this close to being like, I don't need to deal with you. Mm. I'm good. I don't need to deal with you.
Yeah.
I don't need that kind of frustration. I don't need that kind of headache. Although I spent a lot of time this morning playing that stupid golf game, trying to hit, like, I was going through the training part of it. And then the very last training part is like, get the ball within 25 yards of the hole. Mm-hmm. Whew, it was really tough. Even on easy mode, I couldn't do it.
Okay, then tell me this. How is the swing implemented in the game?
With your mouse.
Back and forth?
No.
So it's not a pull back and push for, okay.
No.
That should be simple, but
you also have to keep the not only do you have to get your swing right, which is very difficult.
Yeah.
You also have to get the head of the club either, you know, under the ball, on top of the ball, lined up with the ball, all the while this is variation. This is moving while you're trying to move. So you use you use keyboard commands. This is a very they tell you at the beginning of the game, they're like, hey, this is best played with keyboard and mouse. You can try a controller, but best played with keyboard and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Because like A and D will, the letters A and the letter D move your, I guess, the club from left to right, and then Q and E move the club or the head of the club up and down. It's an odd thing.
It sounds like it's controlling hooking left and right and then backspin and topspin.
Yeah. No. There's stuff like that. You learn all these things. The hook, the slice, the they call it a flat, I think, where it just
flat
goes
shot,
straight
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
there's that. There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go into easy mode, I don't think you have to pay as much attention to the. It doesn't variate.
Mm-hmm.
Once you set the club, how you want it to contact the ball.
Yeah,
it stays there. The swing is still something you've got to master,
mm-hmm.
power and hitting the ball itself. It's a bit on the difficult side.
So it seems
I never got out of the tutorial.
Yeah, so it seems like the controls, until you get used to it, it's going to hamper the experience of the actual game that you're trying to figure out.
Right. And I mean, he says that. He's like, look, normal, and they say this, you pick your difficulty. Easy mode, you'll hit the ball, you'll play the game, you'll enjoy it. Normal mode, you will mess up. You will have horrible hits, but the ones you succeed will feel that much better when you can do them. And I don't know. I just don't know if all of that frustration is worth it to get to whatever this underlying thing is going on with this game.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's worth it. So that might be off my list. I've downloaded a lot of others. I just haven't gotten around to playing them. Of course, I'm still playing Marvel Snap as well. So that is what I've been doing. And... hopefully, there we go. I'm trying to see what we see. AC Ray says, as usual, I bookmarked a bunch, played a few, and got burned out. This never seems like a reasonable event for players, just leaves demos up for when I'm on the fence about a purchase. I'm in the same situation as you, AC Wraith. There's a ton of demos to play. And I download as many as I can. The problem is that some of these don't stay around. Some of them are only around for the length of the Steam Next Fest, which is 1 week. Some of them stick around for a lot longer than that. But trying to find, like, the gems among all the other things. And I don't necessarily mean gems as in, like, what's more popular. I can tell you what's been downloaded the most. But just something that I find, you know, something that I look, like when I found Balatro, like when I found Ball Pit, you know, you're looking for something like that that's gonna strike you and stick with you and be like, that's the one I can't wait to play. So I can't wait for it to come out type of thing. So far, I really haven't found anything that's like really doing that. AC Ray says thunderstorm, gotta switch the phone. Yeah, we're dealing with some weather out here coming through.
I've been dealing with weather all week.
Yeah, well, it's that tropical storm that was down there dealing with us. Anyway, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the show proper and cover up some news. Once again, I remind you to head to our website. It is ingamechat.net so that you can understand the current situation. Which is the same situation as last week, just increased, unfortunately. So, yeah, check out ingamechat.net and help us out. Here is music from, we're in October of last year. And this is music from Snoopy's Great Mystery Club. Snoopy has a video game, and apparently you solve mysteries with it. This is called The Haunted Hall. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In Game Chat. That's music from Ninja Gaiden 4. Track is called Disco in Tokyo. Speaking of, Dead as Zisco. That's another one I'm interested in, which is not in the next fest thing, but it's... My problem with that is I really want to play it because it's... I played the demo for it.
Yeah, the rhythm game, right?
Yeah, it's all rhythm game, and it's fighting, and it's got the Arkham-style fighting thing, but based on rhythm and stuff, and I really, really love that. But it's early access, and I don't like early access. Yeah.
What was that one before that? You really liked it, but it didn't save the studio.
Hi-Fi Rush?
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, that one. that was the one before. That was a good... That was the good rhythm game before that one came out, right?
That was, yeah, it was based on rhythm, and I don't, it was very hard to kind of get into the rhythm of what they were asking you to do, especially the more complicated it got with moves and things like that with your, yeah. with your move, your skill set. And it's one that I got a good ways into it, but I never actually finished it. Oh, that yeah. was a lot of fun too. I'm trying to remember the studio.
Yeah, it was like...
It was the same ones that did Evil Within. And Evil Within 2.
Bethesda?
It's not Bethesda, no.
Tango?
Tango DreamWorks.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Tango, I think it's Tango DreamWorks.
Speaking of which, that's another title I haven't finished yet. Evil Within.
Evil Within?
Yeah. Got it, just hadn't...
And you played it, too.
Played it, didn't finish it.
Wow, man.
Yeah, something came up, but yeah. Just thrown on the backlog.
Get on it, sir.
Yeah, I know. Well, you get that in the 100-plus
titles.
I said
the guy with all these yeah. with all these backlogs going on. Right, exactly.
No, myself, I got 100-plus things on the backlog, too. All the stuff that we got from PS Plus and game, whatever, my Microsoft's version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game Pass. Thank you. Game Pass, yeah.
Hey, since we were talking about Next Fest, let's talk about the top games here. The top played games. Oh, man, 4,000 demos. Good God.
And they're only available for a week?
Some are, some aren't. It's not set. I just know that in previous Next Fest stages... I've downloaded demos and thought, okay, I'll get to them when I can get to them.
Yeah.
Now that I got the demos, I'll get to them. And then I would go back to play them, and it would have the thing, the play would have changed to visit store page instead. And it's like, well, crap.
Well, yeah, it was like, yeah, you said it was like available for a week, and then I'm like, okay, it can't be too many titles within 4,000? Goodness.
That's what this article says here. Valve has revealed the 10 most played Steam Next Fest demos, and based on the hours I've spent browsing the more than 4,000 demos, I'm not super surprised by the result. So here's the full list, and there is no order in these being better or worse than the others. So Echoes of Einkrad? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but as you know with me, probably I'm wrong. It's an anime third-person ARPG set in the Sword Art Online world. That's immediately off my radar. Anime third-person ARPG is almost... enough to put it off of my radar, but Sword Art Online is nothing I've ever familiarized myself with. Mm-hmm. What I've seen of it has never been something that's drawn me in, so that is off of my list. Probably not others, obviously. A lot of people are into this.
Yeah.
Mistfall Hunter, an extraction RPG supplanting the usual shooting with Souls-like third-person combat. The name was intriguing. Extraction RPG already earned it a check mark of no, but then when they throw in Souls-like, that just put in the other two check marks of like no. Not no, but hell no.
Difficult extraction.
Yeah, I've just never been the extraction shooter kind of person thing, and they're going to throw an RPG into this with Souls-like combat. I no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Over the Hill. This I have downloaded, but I have not yet played.
Mm-hmm.
This, as described in this article, chill but grueling off-road adventuring by the devs from Art of Rally. Art of Rally I like. Mm-hmm. the little bit that I played. If I'm thinking, no, I'm thinking of something. I'm thinking of the game where you drift. And I can't remember. The game where you drift is very, like, chill. It's not cozy drifting, but it's very chill. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the name of the... people in chat are going to tell me what the name of that thing is. And it's not called Art of Drift. Anyway, that's Over the Hill. I've downloaded it. I haven't played it. I like the chill, but I'm the grueling is getting me ready to mark a check in front of it, saying, like, nope. But we'll see.
What was it called? Absolute Drift, was it?
Absolute Drift, yes. That's okay. What it was. Thank you. Another game is Iron Nest Heavy Turret Simulator. And its description is in the title. It is a heavy turret simulator. Mm-hmm. Like, really it's a real simulation of operating a heavy turret. You've got to know your coordinates, degrees, all these different things that you need to know.
Sounds like naval battle.
I mean, it's... If you watch the trailer for it, you know, you got your protractors out so that you can line up your, you know, triangulate your shot and all these other things. I don't know.
Definitely sounds like naval battle.
It's all point, yeah. Very much
hit this
like...
hit this target from miles out.
Right. They give you the coordinates, yeah. And then you've got to figure out, like, okay, if they need me to shoot here, then my angle needs to be this. Then my power needs to be this. Mm-hmm. Here's the wind. Here's all that, whatever that has to go into it. What I'm starting to come to realize here is that the people who have downloaded these things are RJs. They're just a bunch of RJs. You got your anime third-person ARPG with Sword Art Online. You at least know about that.
Yeah.
I don't. Mistfall has Souls-like combat. That's up your alley, not me. Over the Hill, which is close, the closest one yet that we've got that might be down for me, but it talks about grueling off-roading adventuring, which, again, sounds like a challenge that I am not up for, but RJ loves his difficult games. Iron Nest Heavy Turret Simulator, again, not me, doesn't sound like you, but it throws in some difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
The next one on the list is Impulse. This is another one that I've downloaded strictly before I even saw this list. I downloaded this because of what I had seen from it. I was very interested in it. It is a 6v6 shooter from the creators of Splitgate, but looks way more like they're just trying to make Titanfall. And if anybody is trying to make more Titanfall, I will be there to play your game. At least to give it a shot, at least to make to see if you've, you know...
If you stack up to it.
If you got that lightning feeling, yeah. In that bottle again,
mm-hmm.
I will be there for it. And Impulse is the only thing I've seen that's trying to do anything like that. So this one says it looks like a Mirror's Edge that's blended with Titanfall. So I have yet to play it. I don't know. Dustfront RTS. It is a vintage-looking real-time strategy game for 90s PC gaming heads. That tells me nothing. However, there's something I can click on. Will it take me to... Oh, it will take me to the store. That's great. So that way I can watch a trailer or look at screenshots if it all loads and decides to go... Oh, gosh, yeah. This is very much a 90s-based real-time strategy game. Okay. There's no user reviews on it right now, but... Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm iffy. I'm iffy on that. The Mound, Omen of, what is it, Cthulhu?
Cthulhu.
Yeah. 4-player co-op about scouring a dangerous, slightly sci-fi... Wait a second. Did I play this before? Hold up. Everything's running really slow right now. Probably because, oh, I can't see that far. We haven't dropped frames. Probably because we're streaming right now, which is why this... Oh, no, that's because somebody is streaming it on the store page, live broadcasting right now. I just want to see screenshots, and even those are not loading up for me, and that's a shame. Is this in first person? It is. It's a co-op expedition for... Okay, never mind. I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. I did play a game that was like a city builder type thing, and I can't remember the name of it. But you had to sacrifice things to the gods to make sure that, you know, you didn't incur their wrath.
Does it look like a modern day setting for this thing?
No, it's not.
I'm seeing bows and arrows and
crosses,
I guess, to ward off what, vampires maybe? Monsters. Oh, okay, no. I see the Ponce de Leon style helmets these guys. Yeah.
It has a setting. It is set in the past. The next one is Embers of the Uncrowned, which is Nexon's next big dark fantasy MMORPG. Already in that regard, I'm like, no. Very, very likely no for me. Bombanana?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm glad I did. Oh, Lord. Okay, so there is somebody else. I say somebody else, but they're streaming they're watching the play on this. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure. Is this... You're a three-player bomb defusal team made up of three monkeys. One is blind, one is deaf, one is mute. Inside your minivan-turned-mobile bomb workshop, you must defuse bombs before they explode using limited time and limited communication. This, obviously, you know what this sounds like. Keep talking and nobody explodes.
Yep. Still a fun game, by the way.
Yeah.
Still got the manual. Because I don't know if it's been updated any. I need to check on that.
Trying to see, does this have co-op? It's hard to tell. It says online co-op.
It better.
It does. It has online co-op.
I mean, one's blind, one's deaf, and one's mute. You better work together.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Okay. I get that now. I get that. I'm looking at screenshots. All right. And then the last one on the list is something called Casualties Unknown, which says a survival platformer about exploring a murky, dangerous
subterranean.
Yeah. I'm looking at...
It sounds like one of the Dark Pictures anthologies. What was the one with the soldiers? They were underground, stuck underground, trying to get something.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. I mean, that's what that description sounds like to me.
This says it's an unforgiving cave exploration survival simulator. Your captors have tasked you with retrieving lost cargo on a foreign planet. Explore its 11 layers and do your best to survive diverse hostile environments. You are just one of the thousands of test subjects sent to die. None of these particularly have been something that's like, I really want to play this.
Yeah. I thought it was The Devil in Me. No, that wasn't that one. I think that was Devil in Me was like the Haunted House one. I want to say it was House. I'm looking up it now. I think it's House of Ashes.
Was that Supermassive?
Yeah, Supermassive.
Yeah.
It was House of Ashes. Special Forces soldiers, a buried Sumerian temple, and surviving under that. So, yeah. Sounds like something like what that game you're describing is, or close to it at least.
The latest NextFest has plenty of games with AI disclosures. Of the 4,397 products listed as NextFest demos, 551 of them have AI content disclosed user tag attached. Of course, user tags on Steam can be exploited, but assuming there's not some widespread concerted effort to tarnish non-AI games with the AI tag, that's a very high figure. Last week, over 300 games were released on Steam, and 120 of them had AI disclosures. Just looking for the rest of this article there, just going through it there. So, yeah. I'm just thinking, yeah, exactly, you know? Thar says, I tried Mistfall and it was okay, but found it's an extraction PvPe game, so I uninstalled. Right there with you on that. AC Wraith says, none of these were on my list. I was more about action adventure games. Yeah, you know, I've gone through those and nothing has really, and I hate that, but nothing has really stood out to me. Nothing that I've looked at has stood out to me. I did download a bunch, and I wish I had access to tell you what I have downloaded, what is in my library. I do this every time the demo space comes around. I download a bunch of demos, but I don't tell you what I got because I can't remember it. It doesn't show me unless I'm on my actual PC with what I've got installed to tell you what I've downloaded.
App doesn't do anything like that?
No, the app doesn't. Through this, man. It doesn't show you any of that stuff.
Jeez.
Yeah. The best I could do is go to the Next Fest Steam page and see what jogs the memory of what I've downloaded. That's about all I can think of.
Yeah.
Like if I go to the store, you know, he says this as he's got time. He's only got 7 minutes till the top of the hour, so I might as well take a look here and see what I can tell you that I've downloaded. Mm. Screenbound, I downloaded that demo. That's the demo where you have like a handheld device, like you have a handheld video game thing, and there's stuff on that screen, but it also relates to the outside world beyond you.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't played that demo yet. I did download it. Windrunners is another one that I downloaded. It was on my wish list, and there's a demo for it, so I downloaded it. Deer and Boy, I downloaded that one. Woodoo, I'm not sure what that is, but it was on my wish list, and I downloaded it. Over the Hill, like I said, I downloaded that. Does this move on? This does move on. No, don't. I didn't click on that. Go back. Go back, go back, go back. Just takes a while to load things. Impulse. That may be all. Lost in Art. I downloaded that one. There's some adult games too. I have not downloaded those, but I'm coming across them as I'm trying to see if I've downloaded anything. I think that's all that I've actually downloaded.
I've got it with AC Wraith on this one. Nothing really stands out to me looking at the list, man.
Yeah, normal golf game I talked about. I just, there's nothing that is really sticking out to me that is really pulling me in.
Yeah.
There's something called Spooker? Spooker?
Spell it.
S-P-O-O-K-E-R. Spooker.
Yeah, Spooker. Okay.
Which is Spooky Snooker.
Hmm. Okay.
A spooky roguelite pool-like where you play across increasingly weird tables against your new best friend, Ralphie, the cursed ventriloquist dummy. So, yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of variations of pool and billiards.
Oh, there's something called Cozy Game Restoration. That looks fun. Oh, I did download this one, and I don't know. It's a long title. It's called...
Well, you have to prep before you say it. Okay.
Well, I just have to make sure. It's called Truck-kun is Supporting Me from Another World.
Okay, sounds like an isekai anime type thing.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
It says your truck is magic, and you now owe a soul debt to the buff Ezekiel elf girl living in your head. Run over pedestrians, yep, make deliveries. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who isn't familiar with it, Truck-kun is an in the isekai thing, someone usually gets killed and sent to another world, and one of the most overused ways of getting sent to another world is getting hit by a truck. So yeah,
okay.
They sort of called him Truck-kun.
Yeah, I downloaded it. I haven't played it, but I downloaded it. And I can't remember why. I remember reading something about it, and I was like, oh, there's that game that I read about. I'll go ahead and download the demo.
Is one of them so odd you may as well give it a shot?
Maybe. Yeah. Again, I haven't done anything with it. Mm-hmm. Green Mist over Portland. I do have that downloaded. That is a detective noir puzzle deduction game. Explore a nonlinear timeline during the Cold War on a globetrotting adventure following a trail of spies. I'm just looking over some more here. I mean, there's a whole list of stuff.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what to do. I don't know what's, like, nothing is...
Overload?
Pulling me in, you know?
You got overload?
No, there's no real overload. Just more of, like, this doesn't seem interesting. This doesn't seem interesting. This is not pulling me in. This is not pulling me in, you know? Mm. Just stuff like that that's just not really grabbing me. Sir, we have an orc problem. I'm interested in that. It's a incremental game, but it's also tower defense. What was that other one? Again, there's a lot of incrementals that I'm kind of interested in. Where basically you do it for a little while, then you earn money to upgrade yourself and then go further. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of those that kind of stick out to me. So, anyway. Anything in here? Fading Echo. Okay, AC Ray says Fading Echo was the main demo I enjoyed. Third-person action where you could turn into a slime and take on elemental powers. Thar says Junkster is fun but got puzzle hard fast. So, yeah. If you guys have any out there that you're enjoying, let us know. We'd love to know. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to dive into... Oh boy, Microsoft. What a week they've had so far. And so far, nothing's happened. The week they've had so far is like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. None of it has happened yet, but everybody's fairly sure that it's going to happen and it's going to be bad. We're talking about studio closures and job cuts. It seems to be really, really bad. So, you know, The good news is coming up. It's not. It's never good news. Yeah. Here's music from a game called Keeper, The Last Beacon. This is from Double Fine, who is on the chopping block. This was a game that was released back in October. It's about a lighthouse that comes to life and you can move it around. It looks brilliant. It's beautiful looking. I downloaded it on Game Pass and only played a little bit of it, but it is a beautiful looking game. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right up. Sorry about my eye. It's just doing this. It waters and then it just continues to water. It's just really annoying. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Lumo 2. Name of the track is When Was Then. When Was Then. Yeah. Welcome back in to the show. Once again, opening the hour here, I want to direct you to our website. If you go to ingamechat.net, there is a post we made just before the show explaining situations. None of them bad. Just none of them that I can really elaborate about. But all is explained there at our website if you go to ingamechat.net. And we thank you for doing that. Just even just going to the website and reading about the situation, feel free. We appreciate that. So anything else, you know, we appreciate that even more. So interesting to direct you to the website and then come back and start talking about money troubles, which is exactly what we have when it comes to Microsoft. I have a lot of stories that are related to what's going on with Microsoft. We'll start, and I'm not sure if these are in order or not, but we will start with an article from Kotaku. Craig Duncan is stepping down as head of Xbox Game Studios, according to a new report by The Game Business. He held the role for less than 2 years, and previously he had led the Rare Studios, Sea of Thieves guys. Look, they say Sea of Thieves, but when I think of Rare, it goes back to, was it Banjo, I think? Banjo-Kazooie? I want to say that, but the first time Rare ever caught my eye wasn't Perfect Dark, although I think they worked on Perfect Dark. It was Donkey Kong Country. Mm. That Super Nintendo title that looked amazing for a Super Nintendo title. But yeah, it was Rare, and then there's Viva Pinata with that.
That was Killer Instinct for me.
Killer Instinct, yeah, that's another one. I think Cameo was part of it too. Rare was a great studio. Anyway, mm-hmm. he was the head of Rare for over a decade. The move comes as teams inside Xbox brace for the latest round of mass layoffs and potential studio closures. Following the announcement of the new CEO saying that they needed a reset. Duncan was in charge of overseeing a sprawling network of game studios, which included everything from Halo Studios and The Coalition to Double Fine and Undead Labs. He was responsible not only for helping get major blockbusters like the upcoming Fable shipped, but also navigating the company's evolving strategy around exclusives and multi-platform releases. Xbox Game Studios will now report up to Chief Content Officer Matt Booty. What a great name. The email he wrote to staff said, "When I stepped into the role of leading Xbox Game Studios 20 months ago, my purpose was to serve our studios, our teams, and the people making our games. Together, we set out to deliver high-quality games. I'm proud to say we delivered many flawless..." It's a bunch of things, yes. Xbox has recently signaled plans to invest more resources in its biggest blockbusters while winding down the latest profitable parts of its portfolio. The rest of this here in what staff is being told and what emails are being sent, it's all very much corpo speak, you know? So I'm not going to go into that. Xbox Game Studios Chief of Staff... O'Connor is reportedly also stepping down. She was previously an executive producer at Rare until its long-in-development fantasy game Everwild was canceled last year in the company's last round of sweeping cuts. Xbox did not respond to a request for comment. So that kicked things off. And then from GameIndustry.biz... Xbox is allegedly shuttering Compulsion Games, Double Fine, and Ninja Theory. All of those are at risk of closure. Compulsion Games They list We Happy Few, but I would list Contrast because that was the first game I ever played of theirs, which was a beautiful game, wonderful game. I suggest anybody go play, find that game. It's probably cheap wherever you can find it. Contrast, great game. Find it, play it. It's got some beautiful, beautiful level design. Check it out. But they also did South of Midnight. That was more recent. Great game. Wonderful game. Beautiful game. They are... Compulsion Studios is very, very good. Maybe not with story, but with aesthetics. They can really build a world that you can immerse yourself into. Not necessarily from the story, but just from the design of the world that they come up with. South of Midnight was fantastic in doing that. South of Midnight had a lot of things going for it. Had the story was okay, but the music involved with it was fantastic. Everything was originally written. Every boss had a song that was originally written for them. There was just the design of the characters and everything else was just really good. Had a really amazing, almost etched in wood type of carved in clay sort of thing. It didn't have the claymation stop motion, although there was something going on there with the movement, but it just looked really, really good. And it was, I hated to see them on the list. Although honestly, Tim Schafer's Double Fine again, dude, Double Fine Studios, you're going to close Double Fine? Been around for a good while and they're innovators in what they do. They've always come up with something that is unique in what they're doing. Maybe not successful. And unfortunately, that's what you need to survive.
That's the point. Look, we've talked about it before. I mean, we were talking about Hi-Fi Rush earlier, and the fact that it was a success didn't save the studio from getting shut down.
Yeah.
So
success doesn't matter either.
Success doesn't matter. But, I mean, it seems like Microsoft is just making a whole bunch of bottom-line decisions for what they want to do in the future. If they have to cut something that isn't performing well lately, what have you done for me lately, right?
Yeah.
So,
according to
let it go.
Yeah, according to Kotaku sources at the studio, Compulsion Games is in negotiations with Microsoft over the studio's fate, but the details of these negotiations have not been disclosed. It's unclear how many positions are at risk or how many people could be impacted. Further reporting from Bloomberg suggests that several Xbox studios are in similar crisis talks, including Double Fine and Ninja Theory, as management fight to spin off the studios to avoid closure. And that, of course, brings about the whole situation of doing the reset and everything else. Double Fine, best known for its Psychonauts series. Ninja Theory, who just did Hellblade. I mean, we just saw a new Hellblade announced at the Summer Games Fest. The interesting thing about that is that they had already planned, and this, we'll go into this story here. Just 10 days ago, UK-based developer Ninja Theory announced Senua, the third game in the critically acclaimed Hellblade series. First off, just side note, the Hellblade games are fantastic. Hellblade 1, Hellblade 2, they were wonderful, amazing games. Not the longest of games. Not games with a lot of replayability, but games that looked good, had a great story, had good combat. They were very good games. But probably again cost a lot of money to make and didn't sell very well. But whatever. Anyway. However, back to the article here. However, since the game's announcement, the studio behind it has been the subject of multiple reports claiming that it, along with Compulsion Games and Double Fine, could close. When these reports were published, many were surprised due to the fact that Ninja Theory had only days earlier announced a new game for 2027. It is now claimed that the impending changes at Ninja Theory were already well underway before the trailer even debuted. According to Gamefile, citing a source familiar with Microsoft's operations, plans were already in place to close the studio or sell it off when the game was announced during June's showcase. By the time that game was revealed, Microsoft had already planned to sunset or split with the studio, reads the report. The thinking was that the promise of a newly announced game would help draw investor interest into the studio. The report states that it's currently unknown if anyone at Ninja Theory was involved in this plan. So basically, they knew they were going to close the studio. They also knew the studio was working on a new game for 2027. Reveal the game. Tell them that, hey, we're going to put this studio up for sale if you want to invest in it or buy it or put some money toward, you know, whatever the case. Here you go. But what does that mean if nobody does? Does that mean the game's done? Does that mean that they close the studio and they cancel the game? I guess it would.
Mm-hmm. Bottom lines, man.
I know. Yeah, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice was originally a PS4 console exclusive, releasing on Sony's console and PC in August 2017, before finally coming to Xbox One in April. After Microsoft bought Ninja Theory in 2018, the opposite took place for the sequel, which was then an Xbox and PC exclusive. It eventually did come to PS5 in August of 2025, after being released in May of 2024. Oh, boy. To give a bit of a history on this, and if I can remember everything that I've read, this started, this path, this snowball, this whatever it was, began with Game Pass.
Yeah.
Phil Spencer announced Game Pass. Game Pass is like, hey, we're going to make Game Pass. It's going to be a Netflix for games where you pay a subscription fee every month and you have access to this massive library of games. Except we need to build a massive library of games. So Microsoft started investing in studios, buying this studio. These studios would have free reign to like, hey, you go ahead and make whatever you're going to make. Just know that it's going to be on our Game Pass thing, you know, where people get to play it. It might not be a success, but it is going to pad our platform. You'll make a game. It'll be on Game Pass. People will play it. Maybe it doesn't succeed, but it's there and we can claim that, hey, we have all these games, you know. Mm-hmm. So just keep making these games. We'll keep putting money into you. You keep making these games. And so they did that. And they kept doing that. And eventually, that didn't necessarily work out too well for revenue.
Mm-hmm. There were some thoughts that said this was system that you have is unsustainable over a long period of time.
Yeah. And it wasn't that long a period of time, it feels like. I mean, Game Pass, I guess, has been around for a while.
Yeah.
And
Game Pass officially debuted on June 1st of 2017.
Okay. So, yeah, it's almost 10 years. It's almost 10 years old. Mm-hmm. God, it does not feel like 10 years, man. But yeah, so they invested in, they were buying studios left and right because they needed that Game Pass. They needed more games on Game Pass.
Yeah, they needed a roster. Yeah.
That whole day and date thing. Like, it's going to be out on Game Pass and it'll also be in stores, that sort of thing. Trying to get people to come over to Microsoft to buy the console and to buy Game Pass and all these other things that they were trying to do. They were trying to make that successful. And they made it successful. But it wasn't successful enough in order to continue, you know, the lower studios, I say the lower, but the I'm not sure what you could say, the smaller studios that they had acquired, putting out this product was not enough. It's like, we know what we told you then, but now we need it to be this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Game development takes time. When you start working on something that let's say a game takes 3 years to conceive, build, produce, publish, from conception to publishing, let's say 3 years.
Okay.
I don't know. We could say whatever you want. But it takes time. I can't tell you that it takes a year because it takes more than that. So let's just say it takes 3 years. What might have been hot in 2017 when it's like, hey, the big thing now is this? Well, by the time you release it, let's take Suicide Squad, for instance. let's take that game, for instance. It's not one that was on the Game Pass thing, but it's one of those that was the big thing at the time they started making that game, and that game was in production for a very long time, mm-hmm. longer than the 3 years that I'm giving it. But at the big thing at the time were your games as a service type stuff. Like, just make this game and then just add on to it forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And the audience will be there. Well, by the time you release that game, the audience was sick of those games. Your extraction shooters, your PUBGs, your whatever those, the battle royale phase of things was great at a time. And then people said, well, let's start making that game for release. But by the time you get to when that game is finished and ready for release, that fad has passed. People aren't interested in that anymore. They've moved on to whatever's next. I don't know what that is. But, you know, Call of Duty, I think, has completely...
Well, Call of Duty released
plateaued, if not well fallen.
No, it's plateaued, but they released a bad product that one time. What was it, 7?
I don't remember. There's too many of them.
I think it was Call of Duty 7. It released poorly. It did poorly.
Yeah,
and it made it.
But they still kept coming back with more. But likely because those games were in development already. Mm-hmm. You know, the leapfrog situation that they would do, and eventually they had more than it used to be. Two studios. It used to be Infinity Ward and Treyarch, I believe. Infinity Ward was working on like mainline Call of Duty, and Treyarch was working on, you know, Call of Duty World at War, the sort of, you know, the something that wasn't in the main line of Call of Duty 3, 4, 5, whatever that was.
Yeah, Warzone, and then stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was like, well, let's bring in more studios, Sledgehammer Studios and a couple of others, and they would be working on, you're working on this Call of Duty that'll release it this year, but you're working on this Call of Duty over here that's going to release the year before. Just so that they could constantly have another Call of Duty ready for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
This way, we have a ton of different teams working on these games, and your game's releasing in 2026. Meanwhile, this other studio in another part of the country is working on a game that's going to release in 27, 28, 29. Had all these things lined up.
Didn't they start taking teams off, taking developers off of other games to work on Call of Duty?
I'm sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Stuff was delayed because of that. Yeah.
Same thing with Assassin's Creed. They were doing that as well.
Yeah.
With Assassin's Creed, they had split up studios and said, you're working on the Assassin's Creed for this year. You're working on this. Far Cry for this year. Far Cry for this. Although Assassin's Creed was usually a yearly release. Mm-hmm. You get an Assassin's Creed this year. You get another one next year. You get another one the year after that. They stopped that pattern after some time, and I can't remember when, but they did stop that pattern. They have not stopped that pattern with Call of Duty that I know of. But it is just constant working on something for release. In other words, when you do a single-player story-type game, when you do a game like Wolverine, when you do a game like God of War, it is a single-player, story-type, narrative-driven experience.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need to rely on what is hot at the moment among gamers, you know?
Yeah.
You take a risk when it's a new IP, but if the studio has, you know, like Naughty Dog's, what is it, Intergalactic, whatever that new space game is going to be.
Mm-hmm. The one that didn't show up at the...
Right, right.
Yeah.
But the one we know is coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's pedigree behind it. So you can take that risk on a new IP with the pedigree behind that and think, well, we'll probably be okay. Otherwise, when you do a God of War like they did with 2019 and a God of War Ragnarok, you're building upon a sequel, an already established IP. There is already a built-in fan base for that. And it, again, it doesn't rely on what's the hot commodity currently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's into Souls-like, so we got to make something Souls-like. Or everybody's into whatever Balatro was.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make more stuff like that, which indies can go nuts with because they can look at a game and say that, hey, I can make something similar to that and get it released within the window of the fad. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to call Balatro a fad, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But when studios look at, like, here's what's the hot thing, so let's build a game around that. Well, it's going to take us 4 to 5 years to get this thing done, maybe, if there's not setbacks. So I hope that this is still the thing that everybody wants 5 years from now.
Mm.
And it turns out it's not. I think one of the examples was something from Double Fine, actually. I think they had a game called Kiln, which is like it's pottery. It's pottery combat type stuff. I'm not sure. But It's kind of like a brawl type thing with pots that are made. I'm not exactly sure.
It's an online multiplayer pottery party brawler where teams of colorful spirits sculpt ceramic battle armor on a pottery wheel, and the size and shape of your pots determine your play style and abilities. Yeah.
Nobody wants that. Or at least the people who did was not enough to make it successful.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to how much money they put into it and how much time they put into it. I don't necessarily want to knock it because, I mean, I haven't played it at all. But the demand for something like that is just not there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And maybe it doesn't work that way either because, you know, I was telling you about, you know, single-player story narrative-driven type thing. Well, Hellblade, yeah. Senua's Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And Senua's Sacrifice, the two games there, not very successful, high praise. A lot of people loved what they saw and loved what they played and played it on Game Pass, but it was not very successful as a solo buy type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here they are still trying to sell that studio. So maybe it doesn't have to do with that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things to be involved with that. When you talk about the making of a game, because studios need tools in order to make these games. Tools usually involve computers. They need computers in order to make these things. They need workstations and things like that. Workstations that need to be built. Workstations that need RAM. Workstations that now cost a lot of money to provide to studios because of the RAM situation. The whole PC situation thing that we got going on now is even worse.
And it's going to get even more worse.
And it's going to get even worse. I know. Exactly.
Which is why you had all that talk from Microsoft talking about further monetizing all their games.
Yeah.
Man, I saw that example in the outline you gave me that... what EA was planning.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The advertising thing that they're going
to
be doing?
Putting ads in there to enhance the experience.
I'm looking over here. There's an article from Kotaku. The former Sean Layden of Sony Interactive Entertainment. He's the former CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. Shared a few thoughts on the current situation at Xbox. Saying that a series of decisions, including a CEO changeover, a weak rebrand, a spate of new tech industry hires, and the potential closure of several of its game studios represent a basic misunderstanding of how the interactive entertainment world moves. Layden was speaking in a comment in response to a post by a game consultant who outlined a bulleted list of recent Xbox moves that he referred to as part of an identity crisis for the company, with some of the bullet points seeming to paraphrase... actual quotes. Specifically, this guy listed a new CEO after previous leadership was beheaded, a rebrand that was kind of just the old brand, a reaffirmation of expensive Helix, which is their next Xbox console, a claim that hardware can't be expensive to win, a claim that 30% margin is done, a claim that 3% margin is trouble, some new tech industry hires, a claim about refocusing on core franchises. In response, Layden commented, at the risk of sounding like a hater, which I'm really not, the moves evince a basic misunderstanding of how the interactive entertainment world moves. If you know, you know, which also means if you don't, you don't. In another comment below the news that Xbox was planning to close Ninja Theory, Double Fine, and Compulsion Games, Layden wrote, I think the SpaceX euphemism may apply here. Rapid, unscheduled disassembly. The last couple of weeks have been a real roller coaster. I feel bad for the dev teams. So, yeah. That's the Microsoft stuff. Coming up, when we come back, there is the Sony and Bungie stuff, which we'll get into that here in just a little bit as well. It's not good news at all. I mean, if you go back to, well, I don't have it up there anymore. I took it down, but the original post that I had done last week on our website about the situation of things, and I said things are bad. And, like, this is where we're at, where things are bad. A lot of people about to lose their job. A lot of increase in prices for a lot of things that you enjoyed. A lot, and I don't know what they're going to do, Microsoft is going to do about their situation currently. I mean, I know they're going to be laying off a ton of people. I don't know that that's going to be enough. So, and I can't tell you a thing about the new consoles. I mean, first off, we don't know, but that's not even a consideration. I would say in most gamers' minds, much less corporate minds. I mean, it's probably something they're thinking of because it's like, these are going to be so expensive if we ever get around to releasing these. We cannot release these right now. We can't. And by the time you get to a point where you can, how far in production did you already get? When do you look at it and say, listen, we're behind the times already, you know? We had this stuff ready for a 2025 reveal. We couldn't do it because of the situation with the economy and the situation with AI, or I would say AI, but RAM space, you know, all this stuff. Now, I know they haven't mass produced, but they've worked on whatever they've worked on, prototypes, things like that. Mm-hmm. At what point, after you've held off releasing this because it would cost an insane amount of money for people to buy.
Yeah, is it going to sell when we do release it?
Right, but at some point, if you built the thing in 25 with 2025 technology, by the time you release at maybe 28, 29, you're 4 years behind, 3 to 4 years behind technology already.
PC's better.
Assuming prices come down is what I'm saying. So then what do? Do you go back to the drawing board and say we need to take this part out, put this part back in. We need to come up with a new processor. I don't know. Like, how long do you have on hold? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Before you release something that is not much of a jump.
Yeah.
Because it's 4 to 5 years old.
Yeah, my main concern would be getting it to sell, convincing someone to pay the almost exorbitant price that it's going to be for a system that's, like you said, outdated about 3-4 years.
Right. That's the other thing. How much did you spend on the prototype? Or I would say how much, it doesn't matter how much you spend on the prototype. Because if you get it down, then you go into mass production on it, and then that's where the money comes in. They've always sold consoles at a loss.
At a loss, yeah. They always have, yeah.
And this would be no different. Even if they released it now at a four-figure price,
mm-hmm,
or the ever, you know, that ever wonderful $9.99 to keep it under $1,000.
Yeah, it's $1,000.
Right, exactly. We know what all is.
Yeah, it's a metal.
But
trick,
my point in that is that, even releasing it at whatever price it comes out at, even if it's a four-figure $9.99, even if it's $19.99, they're selling it at a loss. They always will.
Mm-hmm.
So even at that price, they're going to be losing money on it whenever they do it.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do, I don't know, man. Good God. I don't know where it's going to go, but we're going to be there to see it play out, I suppose. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will jump into the Sony stuff. It's not as bad as what Microsoft's doing, but it is for one company, and that company is Bungie. This music comes from Pokemon Legends A to Z. I think it's A to Z. Y to Z? I don't know. Never understood their lettering system in Pokemon. Lumiose City, I believe, is the name of the track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat. Wrap things up. Coming up right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from, I guess the name is Illa, I-L-A.
Close Illa, enough.
A Frosty Illa, Glide.
Island. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. The name of the track is Witch Island Arrival. Mm-hmm. So, this game came out in October of last year. Anyway, going back to the bad news. In the 15 minutes we have left for the show here, this comes from Destructoid. After the announcement that Destiny 2, Bungie's biggest game, would be ending active development, many speculated that a grim future awaits the once massive studio. Now, according to new reports, Bungie is cutting 50% of its staff. Which, by the way, even cutting 50% of their staff, it would still make Bungie one of the largest Sony studios that they own. Bungie has a staff of about, I think it was like 800 people. They're about to cut that down to about 400, which is still large. For a game studio. I don't know the size of some of their others. I don't know the size of like Naughty Dog or Sony Santa Monica or something like that. I don't know what their staff sizes are. According to a journalist on X, Bungie is planning to significantly downsize its teams with as many as 50% of all developers to be let go from the company. If that weren't enough, Bungie should expect massive layoffs this summer, they wrote on Twitter. It was in French, and I can't translate, but it says, I'm treading carefully, but I'm hearing talk of at least 50% of the workforce affected, permanent or contract staff, following the end of Destiny 2 and the situation with Marathon. And that's not entirely unexpected. Destiny 2 hadn't been doing so well for months prior to the announcement. Ever since they banned me, it went to crap.
Coincidence?
Nah, dude. This is the thing, though. Had they not banned me, I'd have ridden that train all the way off the rails down to the can, you know, as it drove off, you know? Yeah. I'd have stuck with it.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying that I would have provided excuses for it, other than they've hooked me and I am stuck in this, and it's I don't know if you can relate. I don't know who can relate. But it's like when you've watched a television show for ever how many seasons it's been on. Let's say it had I don't know, you're watching it for its eighth season. And yeah, it's been bad here, it's been bad there. But for whatever reason, they announced like, hey, we're only going to do it for two more seasons and then we're done. And you don't hate watch it, but you're like, I've come this far, I might as well see it to the end. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself through it, just I might as well see it to the end of this thing. And that's how I would have been with Destiny. I'd have been like, well, I'm just going to ride it to the end here and go as far as it goes.
Hey, get your money's worth, man.
You know? Anyway, Destiny 2 hasn't been doing so well for months prior to the announcement. Marathon isn't faring any better either. The latter reportedly cost hundreds of millions to make and isn't winning back that cash fast enough, considering its player counts. On release, the writer of this article is, let me get to their name. Oh, boy. I really hate, I shouldn't have said that. Andrej Barovic, I think. And I apologize, sir, if that if I just butchered that name. I really do apologize. He says, on release, yeah, I tried.
Andrej Barovic.
Yeah, on release, I praised Marathon for its art style, storytelling, visuals, and audio, but that's simply not enough in a niche genre like extraction shooters. Also new details claiming that many people at PlayStation don't understand the decision made at the top to discontinue Destiny 2. Some have told me that there's a kind of desire for revenge, as Sony's leadership reportedly blames Bungie for a number of issues with their games as a service strategy. He reaffirmed the rumor that around half of Bungie is to be let go. Sony has been going hand over fist into live service games for the past several years, a push that has cost them an ungodly amount of money. Concord is the most notable example, since it reportedly lost the company over $200 million on the low end. I'm guessing Marathon and Destiny 2 weren't exactly cost-effective games either. So, yeah.
Almost forgot Concord.
You kind of do. It's odd how it kind of slips the mind.
Out of sight, out of mind, for gifts.
Yeah, a little bit. We're getting a free upgrade. Well, if you own GTA 5 on PlayStation or Xbox, you're going to get a free upgrade to the whatever editions of those. Which, by the way, we got a pre-order date for GTA 6. I can't remember what it is. I think it's coming up here.
When's the last time you pre-ordered something?
Ugh. Never. Well, never. Not never. It has been a long time, yes.
Years since you last pre-ordered something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It has been a very long time. They don't offer you really any incentives anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
It used to be like, if you pre-order, you get this. I mean, sometimes if you pre-order, you get like early access to the games now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about as best as they can do.
Yeah, my last time pre-ordering was at the brick and mortar stores. Now my games are basically being bought online or Amazon or whatever online shop there is.
If you haven't reserved a Steam controller yet, you're going to have to wait until next year. You can pre-order, I mean, you can reserve it right now, but you will not get it until next year, apparently. That is the demand that is going on right now with Steam controllers. And that is absolutely fine. I do not need one. I can hold off. Rock Paper Shotgun is another website, rockpapershotgun.com. And they go over what they all are playing for Steam Next Fest, which means it's not the list of people that are just how many have been downloaded. It's just these people who are playing it. Here's a game called Cloudbreaker. It says, very much in the vein of Vampire Survivors, Cloudbreaker puts you on the deck of an airship as it battles against growing waves of monsters. So far, so familiar. Though it's a spin on the formula, is that as you harvest the XP from enemies and unlock new weapons, you have to slot these into your airship's chassis in a game of inventory Tetris. You only have so much space, and you got to find a way to fit them all in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that one. Wall World Strategy. It's a horizontal take on Dome Keeper. It sees you splitting your time between manic miner style drilling for resources and a missile command style battle against approaching aliens. What's another one? Blood Dungeon. I need to check that out. The creators of Nidhogg, Blood Dungeon is the best thing I've played in NexFest so far. Blood Dungeon is another, it's Vampire Survivors plus, and in this case, it's platforming. But it's a genre blend that makes for something truly additive. Traditionally, these games are top-down, and your movement falls into a familiar slow circle, hitting hordes of enemies behind you as your weapons pick off the nearest monsters. By making the game a platformer, actually keeping away from enemies as they crowd in from the sides of the screen is much more difficult and demands quick thinking. Oh, okay. That game is called Blood Dungeon. Rivage, if I'm pronouncing that right, a Groundhog Day-style puzzle game set on a space station caught in a time loop. Okay.
Hmm. Reminds me of that,
Altars?
Is that it? The space building game? Or you had to build your, you had to build some, housing unit on, you know, on space, and it was like a time loop going on in there? The generations of people you had to make over and over again?
Altars was like you could make a clone of yourself.
That's it. Yeah.
Clone had to be from like a significant point in your timeline of life.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, you are you, and then when you make a clone, you go back to when, you know, you either took the job or didn't take the job.
Yeah.
Depending on what that job was. You finished college, but you didn't finish college. Yeah. You pick the one that goes, that's opposite of what you did.
Yeah, yeah. It was just basically surviving on this planet, but it had to do with time or looping, but it's
right.
it's clones and things
there
like
was,
that.
Nature, so yeah, one of your clones went with your mother after the divorce, and one of your clones went with your father after the divorce. So there was a completely different life.
Yeah.
Another game called Drill Deep. It's an incremental game where you are drilling to the core of the Earth's surface. And the trailer suggests your excavations are uncovering eldritch creatures. So that's interesting. I like that. Star Trek Outpost Unknown. I need to download that. You're building outposts, and it's, you know, got the Star Trek flavor all over it, you know?
Sacrilege.
I know, basically. Game called Diggin'. I really need to tack a wide course around any game tagged as incremental because I am an absolute sucker for a game that ekes out marginal gains. Mm-hmm. I meant to play Diggin', a game that sees you play a mole with a drill carving its way through the earth to find its friends for 10 minutes. Instead, I sat there for an hour after work just drilling away. You earn resources from breaking blocks and invest those in upgrades that make your drill more powerful, your fuel tank larger, and your lifespan longer. There's nothing new here, but I can't say it's not absorbing, and I've added to my wish list. The Guild, Europa 1410. He says it looks like a top-down mod for Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, with more than a little Crusader Kings 3 about it. Snapjaw. If Steam Next Fest were judged on vibes alone, this creepy fishing game in a world overseen by horribly screechy machines would have my vote. You sail the dark waterways of a dystopian cove, hopping from fishing spot to fishing spot while trying to stay out of the eye line of patrolling drones. Played in first person, you must run from station to station on your boat, turning the wheel, reeling in fishing lines, and firing the harpoon to trigger the sea mines that too often block your path. The best bit, though, is when you've met your fishing quota. Then you sail into the waiting mouth of a metallic sea serpent that the game's named after, Snapjaw. You dump the fish into the water and race to a safe distance before the monstrous Snapjaw bursts out of the water like Jack's beanstalk in that fabulous shrub, if that fabulous shrub were made of metal and teeth. There's a lot more here, and I wish I had time to go over them. Ooh, Leafy Corner, that sounds fun. Oh, they have normal golf game in here. It is not a normal golf game. A game called Mold Rise, Killer Chase. There's a couple of others. If you're looking for the list, just go to Rock, Paper, Shotgun, and you can find them there. We have to go. We are running out of time. I wish I had more to go into. Once again, I remind you to go to our website. If you go to ingamechat.net.com, or you go to ingamechat.net, you'll find out exactly what's going on that I can't tell you about, but you can find out all about it there. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. We will be back here next week to do it all over again, and we hope you will be too. Have a fantastic week. Thank you for all the help and support and everything that you have done and are planning to do and will continue to do. We do appreciate it. Have a fantastic week. Here is music from Ball X Pit, which came out in October of last year. It's called The Skeleton King. Have a good week. We'll see you next Saturday.